Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to Irish goodbye and only leave people a video message as a goodbye? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, this is a video recording of me telling you that I am done. I am leaving right now. We'll never see you again. Maybe, hopefully. Bye. Mm-hmm. See you later.
Thanks for the memes, hags.
Thank you. It's like, I would say that I miss you, but I simply will not.
Yeah. The title of the episode makes sense now. Hello, I must be going.
Yeah. Bye. Goodbye, Julie. Goodbye, Julie. I feel like, I mean, I'm absolutely like gobsmacked what we're doing here. Like, I don't understand. Okay. So, everybody and their mother, which I do appreciate, explained to us that Amy Jo Johnson said, bye, bitches. I don't want to work here anymore because
I'm donezies.
Right in the beginning, Amy Jo Johnson, sadly, her mom passed away from uterine cancer, but she was stuck. She was stuck in this job. And she's like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a star on a hit TV show on the WB. I don't want it. I don't want the fame. I don't want the money. I don't want the job.
She wanted to grieve.
I want to go, which I understand. But honestly, guys, she also left Power Rangers in the third season because she's like, IGTG, I got to go. I don't want to be here anymore.
You think she's just like three seasons and she's cooked? That's
maybe
it.
Amy Jo Johnson shouldn't be on a television show. If it's
is
not
she now?
Own.
Do we know?
Amy Jo Johnson absolutely probably just does not work. I don't know.
I mean, we'll get into it. Certainly strange, like very much felt out of the blue, out of seemingly nowhere. We have a really interesting episode to discuss in season 3, episode 3 of Felicity. Hello, I must be going. I definitely think we should start with Julie, because it feels like that's like obviously the headline of this episode.
Yes.
And Sarah, credit to you. You're like, something's just not quite right. Something ain't sitting right. There's something more going on with Julie. She's hiding something. Something is a little off about her. And it turns out you were exactly right about what happened. She found out she was indeed a match for her father to give him a kidney, but she decided against it. And she lied. And now, okay, here's where my questions come in. And it just feels like we're leaving so not unresolved, kind of unresolved. It just feels like she's leaving when like there's a lot I still need her to break down for me. Like when she realized she was a match, okay, did she also lied to her family and said, no, father, I've just met. I am not a match for you. And then watched him die. Like, I'm not, and this is not me judging her decision. This is more of me like questioning exactly what happened, because she lied to her friends, but she also lied to her family, right?
I don't know. And I think like that is something that would really dictate how I kind of feel about the whole situation, because as I've discussed many times before, this is kind of like a personal thing for me, because my father died of kidney disease. You know, it's hard because also, like I've said, it is like a really hard decision because you put your own health at risk. It also, you know, you can have complications. You can give up your kidney and it can get rejected. You can give your kidney to somebody and they might not like treat it well. Like they might, I mean, not saying that like Julie's dad will do this, but like they can not take their anti-rejection pills. They can decide that they want to like drink or do drugs on it. They can, like, you know, like you can give your kidney to somebody and it could all be for naught. It could not work. And then in time, like you yourself, like as a daughter or somebody with kidney disease, that is something for you. And it's just very invasive. Like, I don't blame anybody for deciding that that is not the choice for them. I feel as though, and also it was a really big ask, right? Like it was a really big ask of
she had never met.
Yeah.
Yes, it is her biological father.
Yeah.
Does not change the fact that she does not know this person. And it is a big ask. So I agree with you. I am not judging Julie's decision not to go forward with donating the kidney. My questions come from like, how exactly did all this shake out? Like mostly out of curiosity, you know?
Yeah, me too. And I think like they don't tell us specifically because they don't want us to hate Julie. Because in my mind, because like we know that like she spent the summer getting to know her bio dad and her siblings. I think that if the family knew that she was a match and was like, no, would she still be like invited to hang out? Maybe.
That's what I was wondering, if like she lied to them and said she wasn't a match. Yeah, it's just like, and here's the thing also, like from an outside the show perspective in terms of Amy Jo Johnson and what she was going through and kind of her grief and how it affected her. And she, you know, she wasn't able to really process things while she was on the show. They also gave her some really rough storylines to like have to play out during all of that, which I'm sure was not easy for her.
Yeah.
And it just stinks because I do think there was more to gain by having this character around. But it also kind of explains some stuff. Like it explains, you know, them bringing in this British new girl, Molly. We're like replacing Julie with her essentially. They had to like have one more blow up between the triangle of Julie, Ben, Felicity before Julie left.
Yeah. But
ultimately, Sarah, you were right. She even says it in her video message goodbye. New York wasn't for her. She was not built for this city and she must leave. And I do think it's the right
call too
for her. I think going through what she as a character went through in the multiple sexual assault issue, like situations she was put in, her like meeting her bio family, her bio mom basically being like, nah, I'm not even going to tell your dad that you exist. Then having to go through the death of her bio father when a question mark as to whether or not she could have saved him. Like you said, we don't know. Even if she gave her kidney, there are chances it may not have worked out the way everyone wanted it to, you know? But either way, like, she has gone through so much. I do not blame her for wanting to just be like, I'm out of here. Like, this city is cursed for me. I need to start a new beginning. I think this is the absolute correct move for Julie the character. It just kind of stinks because I do feel like there was more for Julie the character to do. Mm-hmm. But I ultimately think if Amy Jo Johnson was like, I need to work on, like, good on her. I just have to shout it out. This was in the 90s. I don't think this was that common to be like, I'm grieving. I'm really going through it. I'm gonna take a break and step back from my mentee and like get that shit in order. People would have been like chastised like all over the place doing that back in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure like, I mean, like for a millisecond in the beginning of this episode, I judged her as well. So I think that's like, it's a little hard. Like, I mean, like I have like so many thoughts. Like, number one, if she knew that she didn't want to come back, like why couldn't we let her go at the end of season two? I feel as though like that would be like a very natural thing for her to be like, yeah, I've thought about it and I don't think New York is for me, which it's not for everybody. Like I've given advice to people that are thinking about moving to New York City. And I say, you have to be fucking delusional to think that like, you know, to think that like moving into the city and everything's going to be okay. Like it's expensive. It's like really hard. It's hard to like, you know, find your groove, and you have to be like delusional to think like, this is the city for me. Almost like you just have to like convince yourself. So it's not for everybody. It's definitely not for me. Like I wasn't able to live in the city. Like I didn't want to. I commuted there and I was like, this fucking blows. But so like I think that Julie really did need to get out of there. I think that in terms of like, I had something that I wanted to say additionally about the her donating the kidney to her dad, but now I'm like forgetting, so I'm gonna pass it back to you and maybe I'll like get
if you remember just yell. I think this is the move for her, and I kind of hate the Irish goodbye, but in the, you know, in the vein of documentary and all these documentary things that Sean is doing, I didn't hate the little like video message goodbye. And I did appreciate her apologizing to Ben, because we can kind of dovetail this into talking about the like Julie, Ben, Felicity stuff happening this episode. Julie definitely oversteps in what she does. Ben specifically says he does not want to file a missing persons report for his father. That is not something he's interested in. I think that is totally valid and fair. There is nothing that requires him to do something like that, especially when you consider the past that he has had with his father, the abuse he's had to go through with him, the fact that he's never been able to rely on him. I don't think that that's fair that Julie then filed one for him, got a call that his dad was at a hospital with alcohol poisoning, and just basically comes into Ben's safe space of his home and is like, hey, here's all this information that you didn't want to know. Like, I understand where she's coming from because she's now traumatized with like the what ifs of the relationship she had with her father. And so she's coming at it from that angle. But at the same point in time, girl, it's not one and the same. Like, not everyone's relationship with their parent is identical to yours. And I think she should have respected that more for Ben.
Yeah. Okay. Now I remember what I was wanting to say is the guilt. It's like, I feel very bad for Julie about the guilt. Say that she doesn't want to donate her kidney and she chose not to when she had the ability to. Like, she must be like really beating herself up over the guilt, because maybe she didn't realize like he was that sick. Like, maybe she thought that like if it wasn't her, it'd be somebody else. And I think that like the guilt is what's like really driving her to have this quote unquote like mental break of being like, I need to get out. We see her like crying the other episode on the couch. Like, I think that this is like where a lot of the like feelings, I mean, yes, she's upset that she didn't get a chance to like really spend time with her dad, but I think that she's feeling extremely guilty. And because she sees this opportunity with Ben for him to step up and save his dad, she is projecting this onto him and saying, hey, you have the opportunity to do good here. Like, I am feeling some sort of way about my situation. And yeah, she's overstepping, but also, so like his mom hasn't heard from the dad in a few days. She's worried sick. Mm-hmm. And he was the last person to see his dad. Like, is it not partially his responsibility to report his father missing. Like, maybe he doesn't, like, he could be dead in a ditch somewhere. Like, I feel like it's kind of bonkers to be like, I mean, I don't know, like, even if, like, the, you know, I have a terrible relationship with whomever, if I feel like they're, like, dead in a ditch somewhere or something like that, I still think that I would just report them. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, go and take ownership over them, but it's like,
that's fair.
Your civil duty to be like, hey, this person is, you know, has been missing for a few days and I'm like, you know, might not be okay. Like, you know.
In that case, then why can't his mom file a missing persons report? Like, I don't understand what the hang up is on that. Like, why is it that she can't do it? Why is it on Ben? Because then he becomes like the point of contact. And I think the reason I am more, and I'm not, I'm saying he should do whatever he wants. It is his right, whether or not he decides that he wants to engage in any of this. But hearing that story from Ben, that he told Felicity about, this isn't the first time he's done this. I was in seventh grade. He went missing for 2 days. My mom and I did all the stuff you're saying. We filed a missing persons report. We called all the hospitals. We called all the morgues. We were worried sick. And it turns out he was drunk in his car, just like sleeping off a hangover for 2 days. And when he came back, he just walked in like nothing had happened. Yeah. Like, that traumatizes someone, you know? Yeah. Like, I can understand him being like, I'm not doing it again, especially his dad just blew him off and fell off the wagon. And yes, like, he has an addiction problem, right? Like, that he has an illness. Mm-hmm. His father is an alcoholic and has an illness. But I think the bigger problem for Ben is like, he was almost like dangled in front of him, like the thought of his dad being recovered or like recovering. And it was kind of dangled in front of him like a toy. And then it was snatched away. And I think that like that hurts so much more for Ben to feel like, you know what, Felicity's right. I'll extend the olive branch or I'll accept the olive branch. Like, I will move forward with my dad. Maybe we can go to a baseball game together. And then to be blown off again, I don't necessarily blame him for not wanting to ride this roller coaster again. Like, he's just like, I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not getting on this ride. I've had enough.
Yeah.
And I can understand that when he tells Felicity the whole backstory of like his father, because I think we're both the same, Sarah. I think both of us, if we had a friend going through something like this, I think we would probably say, are you sure? Like, are you positive you don't want to like file a missing persons report, whatever, because maybe that is something someone would regret. We don't know. But also, like, I think we all can agree in the year 2024, just because someone is like either blood related to you or a parent or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to drop everything to fix their life for them. You know?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I also can see like Julie's perspective as well, especially coming from a person that lost a parent. Like, I just think that when they're, and Ben's very young, so is Julie, they're still, I think, teenagers. Like, there's like, we're older, so like we're not like as like reliant on a parental figure. But also I just think that like not having somebody in your life like that just gives you a different perspective of like what could be. And it's like, you know, I think that because I haven't had like a father, since I was, 19, I just had turned 19. I get to live in this like fantasy la-la dream world where it's like, I can make up a different reality for me about like what a relationship with my dad could look like. And I think that that's what Julie is doing. Like, I think that she's like, well, you know, you don't like, your dad's still around, so like things can turn around for you guys. Like, he can get better. Like, I think that Julie is also probably like being very empathetic with like the fact that his father has an addiction issue. I would be the same. I think like I do agree with you that like, yes, like we have the ability to put distance and put up boundaries, but I also kind of think that's like a little bit of like a privilege thing for somebody to have that perspective when they have two parents.
That's totally fair. I understand like Julie going what she's going through, why she would then have the perspective of, but what if you lose him? Like, you will regret not filing the missing persons report or finding out where he is. Like, and now when she finds out that he's in the hospital with alcohol poisoning, in Julie's head, he might as well be on his deathbed. Like, you need to go to him now. And that's where Julie is coming from. And it's totally understandable given what she's gone through, given the age that everyone in this situation is, that like, that is her gut instinct. I also just really appreciated that Julie did say later, like, I'm so sorry. Like, that really wasn't my place. Because while I think her heart was in the right place, and I think it's understandable why she felt the way she felt and why she did what she did, I do think it wasn't necessarily helpful for Ben. You know, ultimately, he does end up by his father's side. But I think that's a decision he should be allowed to kind of come to on his own. And I don't know. What did you make, Sarah, of like the way Ben handled all of this in terms of like kind of pushing Felicity away and not really wanting to confide in people, mostly just being like, I'm going to take out my aggression on basketball.
I mean, that's very Ben. Like, we've seen him do that plenty of times before. I think that him opening up to Felicity would show progress. And I think that there's times where he does open up to Felicity, but also I think that if your natural inclination is to go inward in a time of crisis, it's very hard to break that habit. And just because, like, sometimes you open up to your significant other and you're working on that, doesn't mean that every single time you face adversity, that's something that you're going to do. I think that that is very much his defense mechanism. And I think it's hard for him to not go inward. I thought it was interesting that he was able to like open up to Julie, but I also do think that Julie fully inserted herself in a way that Felicity wouldn't. Like, Felicity, somehow I'm saying this, like, Felicity knows like boundaries, which is like not what we would have said in season one. Like, but in a way, like, I think that she's like, she's able to be like, I'm going to put, like, you're putting up these walls. Like, I'm not going to like poke and like prod. But also, I don't blame Ben for like not opening up to Felicity strictly because of his mental state, his like history, and just like out of pure habit. In an ideal world, your partner in life should be the person that you turn to and not some rando whiny pink Power Ranger bitch. But
that also takes time. Like, I think the thing is it's not something you can rush. There has to be, in my opinion, and this may be not true for everyone in their relationships, but like, there has to be time and trust and like comfort built for you to feel comfortable going to that person and confiding in them. And even then, sometimes that's just not the way people handle things. Sometimes people want to run or do boxing or do basketball as a way to like get out that aggression. Maybe you shouldn't elbow people in the face, like, just a thought, but like, it is a valid way to work through feelings that you're having. I think Felicity, while being, again, like, I think everyone in this episode has really great intentions. We'll get to Noel, because maybe not Noel. The rest of the crew here, they all have good intentions with their actions, right? Like, Felicity is trying. Like, she's trying to get Ben to open up to her. And like you said, there's a history there where he did open up about his dad before. So in her mind, why isn't he opening up now? Like, he opened up before. But like, that's simply not really how it works.
Yeah.
And I think like, they've only been going out for like, okay, 2 months of their relationship, they were long distance. And now they've been back in New York for like a couple of weeks, probably. Like, it hasn't been very long. So I just think they're not necessarily that in that stage of their relationship where he is going to like confide his every feeling, you know? Like, it's, Sarah, it's almost like when you reach that stage of your relationship where your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, your partner becomes your person, quote unquote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's I've said this to my husband. I've said, like, there are times when, like, before I met him, if I had anything going on, like if I had an emergency, if I had something I was like incredibly upset about, very stressed, whatever, my phone would dial my mom. Like, that is who I would call always. My mom is who the person I would call. And then however long into the relationship with my husband, it was like suddenly he became the person that I would call and cry to if something happened. And that just doesn't happen overnight. And so I think Felicity just needs a little bit more patience in that way.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that, I don't know, if they're the right people for each other, they'll get there. But I mean, he's been friends with Julie, like true friends, almost as long as Felicity. So yeah. I'm not super shocked that he did open up to Julie, and Julie was opening up to him. Like, she admitted to him that like she was a match. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I didn't really take it seriously. There was too much stuff going on in this episode for me to be like, oh no, like a love triangle between Julie, Ben, and Felicity. Because I didn't take it seriously. I mean, like, Julie's like a nothing burger at this point. Like, she boy bite it.
Well, it's also like, I never felt like Julie was trying to like be romantically there for Ben. It more so felt like she was like, listen, reciprocity, like you helped me with my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you with your dad. Like, I'm here for you. Like, she thinks that she can connect with Ben in that way more so than Felicity can, because I don't know, maybe there's like similarities with like some familial stuff. I agree. I never was like feeling like, oh, this is a threat to Ben and Felicity's relationship. But yeah, ultimately Ben does go and see his father at the hospital. We get a little cameo from John Ritter again. And he just kind of like puts his hand on his arm and they just kind of sit there. And I don't know. Like, I feel so, this is so, like, I do love this storyline for Ben because it does give him more depth. And this has always been there. Like, we've always known his dad's an asshole. Like, there's been issues, right? Like, even as far as the pilot episode, him and his mom are arguing about his dad not being there. So this isn't news, but it's interesting to see him be confronted with it and have to address some of it, because in a lot of ways, New York was an escape for him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And essentially, like, his father followed him there. Like, it was supposed to be, you're in California, I'm in New York.
Well, Felicity and him that have that in common.
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. I do find like the whole like Ben's father thing interesting, purely because once again, it gives him depth. This is a carried through storyline. I kind of wish that we got more into like the abuse, because am I wrong from remembering that like his father was like straight up abusive to him and his mother?
Yeah, I can't with 100% certainty say which kind of abuse, at the very least verbal abuse, if not also physical abuse.
And I guess like we are attributing that to the alcoholism, which is valid, but also I think that like there's a part that we did deal with, and that was the like abandonment and like negligence and emotional negligence from his father. But if there's like a whole other like part of abuse here, I feel like that's like kind of important to like,
oh, certainly on. Yeah, I think this is something they're gonna have to work through. If his father can get back into recovery and, you know, go through the steps and everything again. I mean, I find it very interesting that like last we knew his father wasn't living with his mother, that he had left, he had cut Ben off, and they weren't living together anymore. So I don't know if any of that changed, because because his mom was like worried about, you know, missing persons, all that stuff. So I don't exactly know what's going on with Ben's family, but I'm interested to see kind of where we go and how it's going to affect his relationship with Felicity, because I think that there are wounds that Ben carries that he doesn't necessarily talk about. He's a very private person when it comes to that stuff. He's a little closed off. And Felicity is a talker. So I'm really interested to see how that is going to balance out in their relationship.
Yeah. How much more do you think that we're going to see John Ritter? Do you think that this is it, or do you think that we're going to see more of this storyline?
I think no more than two episodes. Like, I don't think he's like hanging around that long. I think he's John fucking Ritter and he's like busy, you know?
Go back to Cali, Mr. Ben. What's Ben's last name?
I don't even know.
Just Ben.
Ben. It's just Ben. Who Ben. Knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Okay, where do you want to jump to next? We have Noel. We could talk about New Girl Molly. Or we could talk about Sean and Megan's first fight.
Molly. I don't understand why all 90s shows have to bring in a random British girl.
This happened in Dawson's Creek.
In the ninth hour. It's just so weird to me. And Molly is such a freaking weirdo.
I liked her. I thought she was fun. I mean, listen,
we have a weirdo.
Well, at least she is offering something new. For a second, she had me when she said she was studying fashion photography and orgasmology. I thought that was hysterical. She was kidding.
Such a funny joke.
Her mom is a psychic and she knew about the Felicity Ben stuff. Is this going to come back? Who knows? Who knows? Sarah hates it. She is so out on Molly. She is not here for it.
I don't need some random British bitch. Like, for real, though.
You don't want her making you bubbles and squeak?
Wait, okay, what was Bubbles and Squeak again?
This was the meal that she was cooking in the apartment.
Was it
and it's
vegetables?
Essentially just like cooked vegetables. I did ask our British correspondent about Bubbles and Squeak, if it's a real thing. And he said, yes, Bubble and Squeak. It's basically just pan-fried, mashed up veggies.
Ugh, the British don't know how to eat food. Goodness gracious.
So that's what Molly's up to. Do we want to make any predictions about Molly? Like what she's going to get up to? Who's she going to date? What's going to happen?
I don't want this. Like, I don't want some rando British girl. Why? My predictions for Molly. I don't know. She'll be gone by the end of the season. I don't have time for this shit.
Okay.
Do you believe Molly?
I think she had a decent first episode. Like, I'm not out on Molly. Do I think she's necessary for the show Felicity? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, that's
exactly it. I do not think she's necessary.
That's exactly it. But, like,
you know, whatever. She's here. I'm willing to, like, give her a chance.
You know what she's doing? She's taking away quality time from Megan and Elena.
That's true. Elena got barely anything this episode. And Tracy got squat, zip, zilch.
I don't want to deal. Okay. And I don't want a world where I get rando British girl more so than Elena or Megan.
This is all fair.
If I have more screen time on Molly than I do Elena or Megan, then I'm just going to sue them for, like, honestly. And whatever his face, Joss Whedon or whatever the fuck
JJ Abrams,
whomever, whatever showrunner this one is, I can't keep track of because everybody has a J name. It's like, I'll sue him. He's rich.
Okay.
No, I won't, actually. Hold on. That is like...
A lot of people are suing him, though. Probably.
No. Not J.J. Abrams.
Oh.
Which one's which? J.J.
Abrams.
This one is J.J.
No, you're right. It's not J.J. Abrams. It's Joss Whedon. People are suing.
Yeah, no. I think
I'm confused because of the J names.
Yeah, see?
Listen, problematic white men in the film industry, you know?
I don't think that J.J. Abrams is problematic.
No, he's probably not. There's just so many problematic ones, though.
I think he's rich.
He definitely is rich.
So anyway.
Molly's fine. And listen, Elena definitely got, the shitty end of the stick this episode in terms of screen time. But Megan got some screen time,
albeit pretty
fucking stupid screen time.
Yeah, I mean, it was dumb. Actually, hold up. Do you think that Molly's mom is really a psychic?
Yes.
Do you think that the psychic is real or just like a fake psychic?
I think she's a fake psychic.
Okay, so you don't think that like she's legit?
No. I think it's very easy to be like, you were having an argument with your boyfriend when he stormed out of here and he's going to apologize. Like, okay, that's most relationships. Good job.
Okay, hold up. So do you think that Molly is actually the fake psychic?
No, I think her mom is the fake psychic. I think she's being honest about that.
Okay. Have you ever been to a psychic?
I have not.
Not even like one at the Ren Fair or like the Boardwalk?
No.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't feel like I would rather go. We've talked about this at some point. I don't know if it was on a podcast or not. I would be more likely to go to an astrologist than I would a psychic. I think like there are things I just don't want to know. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to know some things because I think my anxiety would not find that fun. I think I would just worry if I knew something was coming up. So,
I haven't been to, like, I've been, like I said, to like a Ren Faire and like a Boardwalk psychic. I haven't been to like an actual psychic that's legit. I've been to a medium and I've been to an astrologer. I'm a very spiritual girly at times.
Yeah, you definitely are.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Do you want to talk about Sean and Megan's dumb fight?
Yes, we can talk about Sean and Megan's dumb fight.
This is stupid. Sean gets offended over fucking nothing. Like, he was being such a whiny baby. I couldn't handle it. I would have approached this exactly the same way as Megan did. I mean, maybe I'm not telling a story about a nose job, but like, he is getting so up in our, oh, you hate my nose. You hate my, bitch, calm the fuck down. You know your nose isn't bad. Like, it's not big. It's not anything. Like, there's nothing wrong with your nose. Like, stop being a big baby about it. And I liked that Megan was like, because he's like, oh, can I talk to you? And she's like, is it about your nose? Because I would have done the same fucking thing. Been like, if it's about your nose, then fucking no. I'm not talking to you about this.
I don't know. For me, like, I would just feel so subconscious. Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, when you actually like something about yourself, or that, like, or you, like, don't even have a problem with, and somebody brings it up to you and is like, yeah, like, I don't know, I would change this about you, or like, this is not that great. Then you're like, holy fuck, like, I didn't even think that that was something wrong with me. Like, I'm like an actual troll. Like, and then, like, I would just obsess over it. Like, I totally understand where Sean's coming from. Like, he's like, I have like a good nose. Like, my nose is good. And then Megan's like, you have a big honking nose. You should get a nose job. And then he's like, well, fuck me then. I guess I'm ugly. Like, I don't know. I feel like I would definitely be more of the Sean in this situation. I would be so self-conscious if, like, out of nowhere I was told, I mean, like, I already am like self-conscious about my nose, but if somebody brought it up to me, then I would be terrified or horrified.
I mean, like, here's the thing. Megan isn't even the one who suggests getting a nose job. He is the one who says it. He is the one who says, oh, I could take this opportunity to get a nose job. And she's like, oh, really? You'd consider that? Like, and then she tries to tell him about this story about this guy named Kyle. And he gets like so upset. He's just like, oh, why do you hate my nose? And she's like, I didn't say that. And he's like, yeah, no, you did. You said that. And it's like, you're putting words in Megan's mouth. Megan never said that. And if you would have given her 2 fucking seconds to tell the goddamn story, you would have known it was about her. So stop being a fucking asshole.
Well, I don't think he's being an asshole. I think that he's being insecure. Like, I think that he thinks that, like, he's not as good looking as she is, or he's thinking that, like, he's just feeling as though he's not good looking, and he wanted that moment for, and like, it, you know, you're not going to get this from Megan. Like, you're kind of barking up the wrong tree, but like, he was wanting that opportunity for Megan to like
compliment him and like build him up a little bit. And she like kind of accidentally puts him down. Like he was fishing for a compliment and she was like, I'm not fucking like, I don't do fishing exercises. No, thank you. So, yeah, like, I don't know. I think that Megan was like, ooh, you would do that, as in now that we know that she was the one that got a nose job. So like, you know, maybe like she was like, ooh, like this is a good opportunity for like me to open up about that and see like how he would feel about it. Or like, oh, we have something in common. Or maybe like if he got a nose job and she got a nose job, then maybe like she would feel like better about, like, at least they have that in common and like, yeah, she doesn't have to be ashamed about her nose anymore. I don't know. Like, I think that like everybody is just like very like inward about themselves, judging themselves. I feel bad. I don't know if the actress that plays Megan actually got a nose job, but she has a great nose. And
she does have the cutest little button nose.
If there's one thing about me is that I have a very big hyperfixation on noses.
Oh,
I like really appreciate a good nose. And I think it comes from my own insecurities about my nose. And like, I want like the cutest little adorable nose. Like that's like a little button nose, little upturn. My fiance, beautiful nose. He has the most perfect nose in the world. And if we are so lucky to have a child one day and they don't have like his nose, then this would be terrible news, the worst news. Because Adam has the best nose in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. It is so tiny and cute and slightly upturned. And oh, it's the cutest nose in the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, I think. And I think part of Megan's frustration.
So you agree, Adam has the cutest nose.
I can't recall on like with memory what Adam's nose looks like.
It's perfect.
Believe you wholeheartedly. I believe you.
Oh, it's so cute. It's perfect. It's dainty. It's adorable.
With Megan, though, I think what bothers her is that Sean is so insecure, because I think she remembers when she was insecure about her own nose.
Yes.
And I think she doesn't want to go through that again. And also, I connect with Megan here. I am a little bit like Megan in the fact of like, don't put words in my mouth when I didn't say that and then claim that you don't like something that I don't like something about you that really is just a secret shame of yours.
Oh, that
like,
is so that me. I do that all the fucking
time. It's
infuriating
because it's like, yeah, I never said that. I never feel that way. And especially when it comes to romantic relationships, like that was something I remember. And again, Megan and Sean, worth mentioning, haven't been dating super long, a couple months. So they're still early on in their relationship and like getting to know how each other ticks and all that. A few months into my relationship with my husband, I remember us having a conversation where I was like, I don't deal well with insecurity in my partners. Like, if I don't want to be with you, I won't be with you. Like, you'll know it. Like, if I'm with you, that means I want to be with you. That means I like you. And that means I think you're good enough to be with me. Like, it's, you know, I obviously think well enough of you that I'm in a relationship with you. So like, please don't beat yourself up. You know, like,
did he
it would
cry?
Kill me. I don't think so. I didn't make him cry.
That would just pulverize me.
I just like, I can't have the same conversation 50 times in terms of like, oh, but I'm so XYZ. Oh, I hate this about myself. I hate this about myself. And it's like, oh my God, now I have to tell you for the 20th time that like, I like this about you when I've done like this fishing a million times.
I like fishing exercises.
I don't like fishing exercises.
I like casting the reel. Like I need, and I think it just like is very much like, you know, words of affirmation. Like I need to hear it. Like I need to hear that you find me attractive. I need to hear that you find me interesting, that you find me smart. Like I need to hear it. And if you're not telling me, then like I'm left to my own devices of thinking that you don't think that.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. Like, I would rather have someone do acts of service for me all day long than be like, you're pretty. Like, no.
Yeah, that's what Adam
do
too.
Things around the house and I will love you 20 times more. That would be great.
What's Will's love language?
I think he's definitely quality time is like way up there for him. And then I think words of affirmation slash what's the other one? Acts of service. I think like I think those are his highest ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Anyway.
You guys don't talk about it? Is he not like right next to you?
No, he's not currently right next to me.
Okay.
We've talked about it in the past, but like, I don't know. Let's move on to Noel because Noel has a crazy episode.
Ugh, I am so bummed that he dyed his hair back.
Yeah, he's dying his hair back. He's trying to get his like his marriage annulled and he's gonna claim impotence. And I love Natalie being like, he's the best lover I've ever had.
Facts. And he's like, later on, he was like, hey, like, by the way, were you just like saying that to say that? And she's like, no, you are dynamite in bed. I'm like,
Leon was.
Well, I think Noel too. I Noel's the one that's has the name on her arm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But,
and then things get complicated because we find out Natalie can get an inheritance if she's married of 250K and her husband would get 100K if they're married for a year.
I'm not going to lie. I would say, okay, Natalie, deal then. Like, let's shake on it. Let's do this for a year. Let's shake on it. Let's cash out the money and be rich bitches together. And if it doesn't last after a year, then you and I can go our separate ways with our stacks of money. And that's it. I would 1,000% do this. I think that these people are fools for not taking that money.
This is a lot of money. Can I tell you via inflation calculator what 100K? So this is the amount Noel will get.
100K is now like 400,000 today.
It is definitely not. Oh, okay. It is 183,000 though. Oh, okay. So still like nothing to sneeze at. It's a lot of money. And I love that this sends Noel spiraling like, should I just stay married to him? And Elena's like, it is a sacred union.
Like, it's just me or I would say yes. Like,
let's I think the question is, are you still happy in the relationship? Because if you're still happy in the relationship, then I'd say go for it. If you want out of the relationship, I don't think it's worth it. I agree with Megan that like the therapy bills that you're going to rack up are going to be more than what you're going to get out of it. But it seems like Natalie really wants to be with him. Like, she bought him Ram.
Ram. She went to the Ram farm.
She went to the Ram farm. And she bought him Ram. It was very sweet. She said, I read your whole little notebook and I bought you some Ram. That is very sweet.
I don't think that Natalie is a bad person. I think that she actually really likes Noel. I think that she wants to be with him. I think she's serious about like saying like, oh, I won't take the money. Like, what more can Noel want? Like, honestly, truly. Yeah. Like, maybe she's a little like cuckoo ca-choo and she wants to be like a free bird, but I don't know. Like, I mean, this is the other thing. They decide like to still be together at the end, even if they won't be married. It's like, well, then if you're going to be together, then like, let's just make some money.
Well, she donated it to children's charity in Texas.
Oh, I hate that. Don't give to those children. Those children in Texas don't need money.
It was just, it was kind of wild given Natalie's reputation that like all of this is happening and she's very still very pro Noel. Like, I don't know, Sarah, if I'm with someone and they're trying to get their marriage to me annulled, I don't think I'm like, please be with me. I think I'm like, fine, bye, bitch. Good riddance.
Okay, I don't understand. I thought that, okay, here we go. Here are reasons that you can annul your marriage.
Okay.
One spouse was tricked into marrying the other by concealing or misrepresenting important facts.
Yeah,
I guess that's what Noel claimed eventually. But duress. One spouse was forced or threatened into a marriage. Mental incapacity. One spouse was unable to consent to the marriage due to mental illness, intoxication, or other incapacity.
There you go. Lie and say you're drunk.
Well, I mean, it could be that. I mean, ooh, that's what Ross and Rachel did. But it could also be like, hey, like, I was really depressed. Like, I had just gotten broken up with by like Ruby, like, and like all this stuff. Like, that one might be legit. Underage marriage. No, that doesn't work. Bigamy. One person was already married at the time of the marriage. No. Incest.
thankfully not. Non-consummation. Oh,
what is it?
Yeah.
Impotence.
Okay. Sexually transmitted disease. The other spouse had an STD at the time of the marriage. Pregnancy by another person.
That's wild.
The other spouse was pregnant by somebody else at the time of the marriage. And yeah, gender transition is the last reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he could have gone down the route of mental incapacity. What did they ultimately decide? Or are they just getting a divorce? Because they can't go back to that judge because they kind of like...
He said get a new judge. So yeah. I don't know if they're going to get divorced or just get annulled with a different judge. But it seems mm-hmm. like they're still going to be dating, which I am pro. Because as I said before, I think if you are a little bit of a stick in the mud, a little bit of like a no-nonsense Nancy... I think you kind of need a little bit of a fun Franny to hop in and like spice things up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Natalie is.
I don't understand why. Is annulment just like faster?
Annulment is saying it never happened. Divorce is saying you have been married and you are divorced.
So it's like kind of like paperwork wise.
I think it's more paperwork. And I think money wise, I think like divorce gets tricky when it comes to like money and property and like splitting things. I think that's why they want it annulled versus divorce. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So that's what happened with Noel, and that's what happened on the episode. It was kind of a wild one. A lot going on. I enjoyed it, even though it was like very much a roller coaster. And also, I love that we yada yada that like Felicity is definitely living with the girls now and Ben is back in the loft. Like they were like, we don't care that we don't have enough bedrooms. Like Felicity will find somewhere to sleep.
Well, no, Julie's gone now.
Well, now she is, but she wasn't before.
Felicity would sleep on the couch.
That's exactly. Who cares? Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into some feedback that we got. Of course, we're going to hear DBK's farewell voicemail to Julie, his favorite character. I'm sure he wrote an ode to her or a poem in her honor. Let's hear what DBK has to say.
Goodbye. Na 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 na, hey, goodbye. Get out of here, Julie. You're gone.
Okay, that's it.
So we found out. You know, Julie murdered her dad. What else? I know. I shouldn't be poking fun at Julie, but this is a TV show, people. Julie's the most hated character, and she's finally gone. Is this why people say season 3 is the best? Is because Julie left? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, sorry. Just the joy knowing she's gone. We get Molly showing up this episode. I'm here for Molly. Molly cracks me up. We get the serious stuff with Ben and his dad. We learned the truth about Julie, that she was a match and she is punishing her dad for what her mom did, I guess. I guess that's what we're supposed to take from this. That's why Julie didn't give her dad her kidney or whatever. I know it's like in real life, this is like a tough decision, but on the show, Julie's a terrible person. Hopefully we never see Julie again, because if we do, I'm sure she'll ruin stuff. Until next week, ladies. Peace.
Do you think we're ever going to see Julie again?
I think she could come back for like the finale, like other shows have done.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she would. Yeah, I can see that too.
They might cut her scenes though.
So DBK, like I kind of want like the long and the short of like the true, like real reasons why. Like, do you hate, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be all the above. Like, do you hate Julie because of the Sean stuff? Like, do you hate Julie because of the Felicity triangle? Do you hate Julie because of the kidney? Like, what's like the number one reason why you hate Julie? Because now that she's gone, you can really tell us like what it is.
Yeah. I'm curious as well, because to DBK's point, I don't know that I 100% understand what the show, how the show wants us to feel about Julie. Like, we talked about this. We talked about it's a just tough decision. Like, we don't necessarily blame Julie for not wanting to give the kidney, but there are some unanswered questions in terms of, like, why did she decide not to? Like, is it what DBK is saying? Is it that she was like, fuck my mom, I'm not doing this? Was it, I don't want to go through the surgery? Like, what was the actual reason? And maybe it was many reasons. Like, maybe it was more of an emotional reason. I don't know. But I do think there are some unanswered things. But I want to know, DBK, next week, you'll have to give us like an essay, give us an email, give us a voicemail. I don't care. I want to know why. What is the reason you hate Julie? What is the number one reason? Because I don't feel like she ever did anything like that egregious to like hate her. I could just have a terrible memory, which is true. So I don't know. But I guess we'll find out from DBK hopefully next week. Let's hear what Temi has to say about Julie's final episode.
Hi, ladies. Sarah, complimenti. Your predictive skills on Julie's choice with her father, as her father was concerned last episode, your skills were amazing.
Thank you.
And DBK too, for letting Sarah air her thoughts, knowing that she had nailed it. Great job by you holding all your thoughts in, because I know you knew. Very good. The new character Molly was wearing a bindi at times during the episode. Have either of you tried a new cultural or religious experience that was different from what you knew before? For me, meditation is now more universal, but originally it came from Indian traditions, and I've tried meditation in the last few years, and it's really helped me. Thanks. Ciao, Donne Belle.
So I went to, I think, like, the most, like, culturally different place that I've ever been to was Israel. It's called Birthright. You actually can go, if you're from like a Jewish descent, you can go to Israel for free. So I did that, and it was definitely a very like cultural, religious experience. I think like one of my favorite moments though was we went to like a Bedouin, like village, and stayed overnight within the desert, and like we were in like a Bedouin tent, and it was like essentially like you got like mats or like sleeping bags, and like you were sleeping half outside, half inside, and it was just like really cool. We had like they served us like dinner, and it was like very like big like family style, and it was, I remember, like big pots. It was like a very cool cultural experience that I wouldn't have ever been able to do without the Birthright experience. So I'm thinking of that. I also had a person that was a friend that was Trinidadian in college, and I went to a lot of her family like holiday parties, and they were Hindu, and like I have a lot of like really great memories from those as well, because it was like a culture that was like different from my own and just like super, super interesting.
I can't think of any off the top of my head that like immediately come to mind. Like, I've traveled places and I've seen things, but I'm trying to think like participation wise. I think mostly I've been like an observer versus like actually actively participating in anything. Meditation is like a great shout out though, Temi, because when I was going through some like really bad anxiety in the past year, I did try meditation as a way of like calming down. It kind of worked for me. I fell off of it. I probably shouldn't have. I probably should still try to do it. But it's like, I have a really hard time silencing my brain. So that's on me. That's on me for my brain and the way it works. But excellent question, Temi. We also got an email from Jamie. Who says, gosh, I feel so many different things about Julie in this episode. I don't know where to begin. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. I guess I can start with her not wanting to be a donor for her dad. All I will do is that this is an unimaginable situation to be in, so I will neither condemn nor defend her choice. What I was not on board with was her making Ben's extremely complicated situation with his father all about her. She overstepped big time there and was so petty towards Felicity. It was almost as if she was trying to make her jealous when she realized Ben had not told her about his father going missing. I personally don't buy that Ben would be more comfortable talking to Julie over Felicity about his dad. Let's not forget Felicity was the first person Ben confided in about his dad's drinking and abuse in the season one Halloween episode.
Oh, okay. So maybe I must have misremembered a little bit of that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I will leave you with some background information on Amy Jo Johnson's departure from the show. Several months ago, she was a guest on Pod Meets World and revealed prior to filming season one, she had lost her mother, but did not start experiencing the grief of her mother's death until the filming of season two. One of the symptoms of her grief was that she found it difficult to memorize her lines.
Interesting.
I wonder if that is why Julie had significantly less material in season two in comparison to season one. And then she mentions the stuff we know about asking J.J. Abrams to be written off the show. He agreed to do so, but asked that she return for 3 episodes for season 3 to give her a proper send off. So I guess it was between seasons, which would explain why she wasn't written off at the end of season 2. Because they're like, well, we want to like actually have you leave properly, not just not show up for season 3.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I get it. And I do understand, like, I kind of explained an episode or two ago how like I didn't process my dad's death until many years later. So I can understand that as well. It's a hard situation when you're experiencing a loss.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, this is really interesting reading that like she was having difficulty memorizing her lines. Like, grief does weird shit to you. Like, it really does. Like, yeah. Grief, depression, and anxiety manifest in ways that you may not ever imagine. And like, I totally buy that. Like, if you can't concentrate your brain, you can't memorize lines and you can't, like, you can't perform. Like, that is something that makes total sense to me. God, I feel for her, because that's really hard to like put off grieving and then kind of all hit you like a Mack truck at once.
Yeah. I'm going to check out that episode of Pod Meets World.
Yeah.
Which famously is a much better podcast than us, especially for Boy Meets World. So
definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for your email, Jamie. And I love your insight, because I do agree with you. Like, I think just Julie stepping over the line a bit with Ben, but that's really tough on Amy Jo Johnson. I feel bad. That's like, oh, that's really tough. Okay. Next episode, Sarah, you're going to be thrilled. Are you ready to hear the title?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Season 3, episode 4, Greeks and Geeks.
Very excited. I love it. I cannot wait to watch this episode. Javier's going to be such a good little fraternity guy. I really hope that he doesn't get hazed really badly.
But no, we'll see. I hope not. He's a little baby angel. He does not deserve that.
Do we want to award a point to
yes
this episode?
Who like do we want?
Benny boy?
I think so. I think okay. he went through it. I think he deserves the point.
Okay.
Well, that's that. So don't forget to send in your feedback. Shit90spod everywhere. Shit90spod@gmail.com. In the meantime, you can find me at the Jess Sterling and over on Talkin' Shit. Sarah can be found at Sarah Ferguson and also over on Whirlwind Podcasts, where they have a ton going on. So go check them out. Anything else, Sarah, you wanted to plug before we get the heck on out of here?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We will be back next week with season 3, episode 4, Greeks and Geeks. Until then, have a good one. Bye. Just ask. Shit 90 shows talk.